Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today we're doing something a little different. We're going to take a scalpel to the internal strategic blueprint of a single organization.
That's right.
The 3D response team. So this isn't, you know, public policy or broad market trends. This is the core DNA of a very specific, very specialized group.
It is. We've basically been handed their playbook, their motivational documents, their strategy docs. And our whole mission here is to distill what makes them tick. We're really trying to answer three questions for you.
Okay.
What drives the team internally? What's the value they're promising to customers? And maybe most importantly, what's this audacious strategy that's guiding their leadership?
What's so fascinating about these sources, and I really mean this, is that they aren't your typical dry corporate memos.
Not at all.
They're written with this like intensity of a coach's halftime speech.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like they're trying to motivate and strategize and sell all at the very same time.
It creates this incredible tension because it's blending two really different demands.
Yeah.
On one side, you have this huge historic goal, a $5 million revenue target.
That's a huge for that.
And on the other, you have this deep, deep commitment to these really fundamental cultural ideas like total support and zero judgment. The brilliance is how the blueprint uses that culture to actually drive the strategy.
And the identity they project is just absolute. They are so clear. They say, we are not just another service group.
Mm-hmm.
They are the ones who step forward when it matters most.
Mm-hmm.
And then they wrap it all up with this core belief,
mm-hmm.
this thing that has to inform every single decision they make.
And what is that?
The solution is not technology. It's not a tool. It's not a product. The solution is us.
Wow. Okay, so that statement right there, that's the foundation for everything else, isn't it? If they are the solution, it completely shifts the focus from, say, selling contracts to selling confidence. But confidence like that, it requires a really profound internal capability. And that has to start with the culture, which they actually brand as our unstoppable formula.
Okay, let's unpack that culture then. This is the motivational core, and it's aimed right at the team members themselves.
Yeah.
So the unstoppable formula, it leans on three classic pillars: teamwork, accountability, and trust.
Sure, we've heard those before.
Right. But they emphasize the outcome of those pillars, knowing that together they are far stronger than any one of us alone.
So it's not just, you know, mandatory collaboration. It sounds more like collective leverage. And if we look at their commitment to excellence, this is where that leverage really gets put into action.
How so?
The 3D response team is told very explicitly that they do not do good enough. They refuse to blend in with their competition.
But what does that mean in practice? I mean, how does excellence show up in a complex service environment like theirs?
It means they're expected to be relentlessly proactive. Excellence for them is defined as thinking ahead, acting with real intention, and always, always recognizing an opportunity before the client even knows they need it.
So if you're just reacting to a problem,
you're already too late. A great team, in their view, solves a problem that hasn't even happened yet.
That sounds incredibly intense. I mean, don't high-performance teams like that run a huge risk of burnout?
They do, and this is where the safety net they describe becomes so strategically vital. They flat out acknowledge that life happens and that nobody can be at 100% all the time.
This raises, I think, a critical question for any leader listening. How do you push for a historic revenue goal, something you've never hit, but still support your team when they're struggling?
And their answer is probably the most powerful part of their whole culture. They do not leave anyone behind.
And the document is so specific about this. It's not just some abstract idea. The mandate is crystal clear. If you are at 80% or even 50% capacity, you must communicate. You have to reach out.
And this is where that trust pillar really gets tested. The expectation is that your teammates, the service coordinator, they are there to immediately lift you up. And the source really stresses this part. It happens without judgment, without hesitation.
Okay, let's pause on that tension right there.
Yeah.
The goal is $5 million. Never been done. They demand relentless excellence, total accountability. So how do they balance that intense pressure for results with a no judgment policy?
Mm.
Doesn't that risk, you know, enabling underperformance?
See, that tension is the genius of the blueprint. The key isn't that they forgive poor results. The key is that they enforce communication.
I see.
If you're struggling, you are held accountable for communicating that struggle right away. The team then absorbs that temporary dip, which ensures the mission doesn't fail, and then the individual gets support, not blame. They're protecting their human capital.
So a temporary drop doesn't become a permanent crash.
Exactly. It makes perfect sense. You preserve the individual, but the collective goal stays on track. And this fluid approach means roles have to be flexible. Team members aren't defined by a rigid title. They're expected to step up, step in, and do what it takes.
And this collective ownership, it extends into the commercial side of things, too.
How so?
They state explicitly that selling is awareness. So if you're a technician on a routine service call and you see an opportunity, even if you're not the one who closes the deal, your job is to pass it to the right person.
And that intentional handoff is described as teamwork in its strongest form.
Yes. It basically weaponizes the entire organization for collective commercial success. Every single team member becomes like an intelligence node.
Precisely. It connects every single cultural action, supporting a teammate, seeing an opportunity directly to that larger financial mission. But okay, all that internal strength, it has to translate into a clear, tangible value for the customer.
That's the crucial transition, isn't it?
Yeah.
They recognize the industry has changed, it's gotten more complex, so just doing things the way they've always been done is totally insufficient.
So they're defining modern excellence for the client. And for the client, that means moving way beyond just reactive firefighting. It's about proactive success assurance. They're making very specific, concrete commitments.
Can you break those down? If I'm a potential customer listening to this, what should I walk away knowing about their service?
Okay, so they promise to ensure your systems are always current. And critically, they promise that your firmware and licensing are kept meticulously up to date. Now, that might seem like a small detail.
But it's not.
It's absolutely not. In these mission-critical environments, outdated firmware is a security vulnerability. It's a source of instability. It's a huge compliance risk.
So they aren't just selling break-fix cycles. They're selling preemptive stability. They're removing common points of failure before you, the client, even realize the risk is there.
The ultimate goal is positioning customers for long-term success. It turns their service into an investment in your future stability, not just a necessary expense for a temporary patch.
This is the real difference between just being a vendor and being a true partner.
Exactly. By proactively preventing downtime and mitigating risk, they prove their method is just superior. They are setting a new standard.
And their motto, it captures this confident position perfectly. It's a declaration, not a suggestion. Lead the charge, secure the solution, deliver results.
That kind of confidence can only come from the internal trust they build. And this whole approach, it allows for premium value capture. They're showing superior outcomes, which justifies their pricing. They prove their champions by delivering stability that other more reactive teams just can't match.
And that closes the loop. The internal culture ensures the external delivery, which drives the revenue.
Okay, so now let's shift to the highest strategic level. We're moving from culture and client value to the audacious goal that requires this whole system to work perfectly. This is where the ambition gets a number attached to it. They call it the historic mission before us.
The audacious goal is a declaration of $5 million in revenue. And it's so important to stress why this is historic. The source material emphasizes that the service division has never reached before this number.
So hitting it is a statement.
It's a statement that the team refuses to be ordinary.
And a target of that size, it acts as a strategic catalyst. It isn't just an accounting milestone. It forces the organization to innovate, to optimize every single process. You just can't achieve a historic high with incremental effort.
No, it requires a fundamental shift.
A shift in volume, in efficiency, in pricing, and critically shared accountability across the whole team.
So hitting 5 million means working smarter, not just harder.
Yeah.
How does the blueprint address that need for efficiency and for future-proofing their growth?
That is where innovation is deliberately woven right into the strategy, specifically through something called Frankie's AI.
Okay, what is the strategic function of Frankie's AI here?
Yeah.
I'm assuming it's not just a generic digital assistant.
No, given the context of proactive service delivery, Frankie's AI seems to represent their commitment to continuous improvement and predictive capabilities. It's likely integrated into their scheduling and ticketing, letting them staff based on predicted failure rates, prioritize high-risk systems.
And automate routine compliance checks like firmware status.
Exactly. So it isn't just a chatbot. It's a dynamic strategic asset. It minimizes human error and maximizes efficiency, which is absolutely mandatory if they want to hit that $5 million target without completely burning out the team.
And the source material reinforces that Frankie's AI mirrors the team itself. It will never be finished. It will adapt, learn, and get better.
That constant evolution is their competitive advantage. They've baked continuous improvement into both their human systems and their tech.
And just to circle back to that core culture of support, from a leadership perspective, the operational brilliance of making sure no one carries weight alone, that becomes a critical strategic lever.
It's pure risk mitigation. High turnover and burnout are the silent killers of any service organization. You lose institutional knowledge, delivery becomes inconsistent.
Right.
But by protecting their people when they're at 50%, leadership ensures maximum operational consistency. They keep their best talent on the field, which keeps the whole unit sharper, smarter, and more unstoppable.
And the final piece that reinforces this top-down commitment is the payoff. The recognition plan for hitting that $5 million mark is, it's motivational hype taken to the absolute highest level.
It's described as a celebration that will be unprecedented, unforgettable, and so remarkable that no company has ever done it for their people before.
Wow.
That level of promised reward, it validates the huge risk and effort they're asking for. It proves the company gets it, that the success is the people.
So if we synthesize this whole blueprint, what's the ultimate formula the 3D response team is using here?
It's really a three-pronged vertical integration. You have this profound cultural strength that supports intense accountability. That culture enables a proactive, superior customer position built on stability. And all of that is driven by a historic revenue target that forces innovation and leverages collective effort with tools like Frankie's AI.
They engineered a system where the culture directly guarantees the strategic outcome.
They did.
So what does this all mean for you, the listener? Whether you're actually part of the 3D response team or you're just trying to apply these lessons in your own world,
yeah.
I think it means internalizing that core belief. You are not just part of the mission, you are the mission.
And that mindset, it transforms routine tasks into something meaningful. The pride they talk about ensures that every service contract renewed, every firmware update, every license secured, they're all seen as the brushstrokes of a masterpiece.
It's an attention to detail that builds a legacy. And since the 3D response team is so explicitly stating that they are building legends, that they are the solution, it raises a really powerful question for them. And really, for any organization that sets a huge, audacious goal.
Mm-hmm.
If $5 million is the declaration of success for this year, if that's the high point, then what will be the definition of the unforgettable legacy they're building for the year after that? What level of greatness do they refuse to settle for next?
That's the thing, isn't it? If you set the standard, you have to keep defining what that standard means. The champion never stops climbing.
We hope this deep dive into the 3D response team's blueprint gives you some insight into how culture, strategy, and these big goals can combine to build something truly historic.